the heart of Christ. That comes from the very first part of our vision statement at our church, which is that we want to be a church that is visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to that same heart and actions. In the series, we've got two expectations, and we'll review these each time. That way we know we're coming in exactly what we want to take away. The first part, we want to connect to the heart of Christ. For some of us, that's going to be a new connection. Maybe it's a part of the heart that you have not learned about yet, or maybe you're brand new in your walk with Christ, and a lot of this will be new this month. Or maybe it's a reconnection. Maybe something has happened to disrupt that. There's been some sort of breakdown. You've walked away or you've had some interruptions something is moved in on your walk and you need to reconnect to this particular part of the heart of Christ. And maybe it's a deepened connection that needs to happen where you are connected to the heart of Christ and you're connected in this way and you need to deepen that and grow. Either way, whatever category you find yourself in, the first goal is to connect to the heart of Christ. And then once we're connected to the heart of Christ, to live like we're connected to the heart of Christ. To not just be connected on our own in the private, areas of our life or our closet or our little prayer closet, but to be visibly connected, to be active, to live like people who are connected to the heart of Christ. That connection to the heart would change our actions. It would change our attitude. It would change our choices. It would affect that, and we would be visibly connected to the heart of Christ. So today we're talking about Jesus' driven, intentional heart. We've talked about a couple of different angles on his heart. Today is about him being driven and intentional. Jesus' ministry was driven and intentional. No one can argue with that. It was a driven and intentional ministry. John questioned Jesus and if he was the one that they were expecting, if he was the one to come. John the Baptist, this happens in Matthew chapter 11. It happens a couple other places, but in Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to be studying today. So if you want to go on and turn to Matthew 11, we'll be in Matthew 11 and Matthew 16 today as far as our texts go. There's an additional text in your bulletin that refers to a passage in John that also connects in with these passages. So if that's something that you would be interested in reading, a little more extra reading there in your bulletins. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, it says, when John, this is John the Baptist, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, heard what was going on, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who has come, who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Because of Jesus' activity, because of the things that he was doing, John the Baptist questions him. Are you the one that was to come, or should we be expecting someone else? Because the activity, what I'm seeing, isn't really what I was expecting of the Messiah. So, and this wasn't, a mean thing for him to do. This wasn't, a lack of faith. It was just, am I confused about something here? Are you the one to come, or is there someone else? Because the Messiah that I expected, the Messiah that the teachers of the law would have expected, or the nation of Israel would have, they were expecting a messianic figure that would show God's vengeful wrath and his judgment on the enemies of Israel, saving Israel, being their savior on an earthly level, saving God's chosen people and condemning all the others. That's what they were expecting. And John's just thinking, did you get sidetracked, Jesus? With all the problems that are down here, did you get sidetracked off of this mission, off of this ministry that we all thought was the ministry and the mission of the Messiah? Because if you haven't noticed, I'm in jail, which is where John was when he sent his disciples to Jesus. I'm not hearing much about the wrath of God creating fear in his enemies, which would have been important to John because he was in enemy territory. He was in jail because of God's enemies. So John's kind of, if you were going to do something like this, bring about God's vengeful wrath, now would be a good time. I'm in jail. I'm in the enemy's hands. You know, John preached a powerful message that we read about in Scripture. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And for him and for the teacher's law, for the people of Israel, they would have understood that the kingdom of God is near, this messianic figure coming, that you didn't want to be on the enemy's side when the Messiah came. Because the idea was that they were just going to get laid flat. And so John's appeal, repent, for the kingdom is near. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is near. That was the idea. You need to get back on the right side of God, because we've seen his wrath in the Old Testament. We've seen what happens when he comes. And we've seen that through the prophets. How much worse is it going to be through the Messiah? So repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. See, they were expecting something quite different than what Jesus was actually doing. If Jesus was the Messiah, hopefully he understood the mission and the purpose of the Messiah. I mean, is he clear on the job description? So Jesus responds in a way that lets John the Baptist know. He lets his disciples know. He lets John's disciples know through this message. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. And then he tells them, in a very subtle way, I know exactly what I'm doing. This is driven. This is intentional. He says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Don't lose faith. I am who I said I was. You were right. You were paving the way for me, talking to John the Baptist from Jesus. I am the Messiah, and this is the Messiah's job description. This is the ministry and the mission of the Messiah. Jesus didn't get sidetracked at all. He was very driven. He was very intentional. He was fully aware of what he was doing. Jesus came as the Messiah to reveal God to his people. I was going to write that down. Jesus came to reveal God to his people. He came with a drive to reveal God to his people, to reveal God's compassion and power. And we see this in this list that Jesus gives to John. He healed the sick. He healed the disabled. And that was a combination of compassion and power. He had the heart to care enough and the power to do something about it. He came with the intention of loving God's people, to pave the way for God's grace, to show mercy to God's people, to pave the way for God's grace. His grace, it would soon be extended to all of mankind. Let's go and write that down. Jesus came to reveal God's love and mercy in preparation for revealing God's grace to mankind. Jesus' ministry was driven and intentional. He came to reveal God to his people, and he came to establish his church. Jesus came to establish his church. So Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist sends this question to Jesus. Are you the one that was to come, or should we be looking for someone else? And if you move forward a few chapters in chapter 14, that's when we see that John is executed. He is beheaded. And then a few chapters later in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, what's the word on the street? Who do they think I am? Who do they say I am? What about you? Who do you say I am? So in Matthew 11, it's John asking Jesus, who are you? Are you who, you know, we expected you to be? And now Jesus is turning to his disciples and saying, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? Let's read this here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. So they were thinking John the Baptist had been brought back from the dead. And Jesus was that, was John the Baptist being brought back. Others say Elijah. So Elijah coming back from years and years ago. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Peter means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. See, Jesus was coming, and he was driven, he was intentional, and he was intentionally driven to establishing his church. Jesus came to establish his church. When you look at Matthew's gospel, and you see some of the journeys that happen through Matthew's gospel, one of the things that you see is how Jesus is working to mold and to shape his disciples to understand kingdom work. Both through his example and through his teachings, he was molding them, shaping them with the intention, with the drive of the goal that they would continue his work, that they would continue advancing the kingdom. In the three chapters leading up to this conversation, I mean, Matthew's gospel just kind of, in this area, this section, it just kind of crescendos into Matthew 16 and this confession and Jesus talking about establishing his church. But if you back up a few chapters, back in chapter 13, you see some of the places where Jesus is stretching and challenging his disciples. In Matthew 13, Jesus explains to his disciples why he talks in parables. And he explains to them a parable that is essential to understanding for advancing the kingdom. It was a parable about the sower, about sharing God's word with people, about sharing the kingdom. The beginning of Matthew 14 is when you see John the Baptist beheaded. And then it's right after that, after they find out that news, Jesus is teaching a crowd of 5,000 men, not including women and children. The disciples approach Jesus and they say, hey, we're in a remote place. We're way far away from anything, any kind of civilization. These people have been here for a long time. We need to send them away so that they can make the journey to wherever they need to go to get some food and eat something. Because there's nothing here. I mean, no McDonald's, there's no Taco Bell. There's, you know, we're in a desolate place. And so we see Jesus turning to his disciples and stretching them, challenging them. You give them something to eat. You take care of this. You care for them. You show them compassion. You show them love. You show them the power of the kingdom. And then what he does is gives them example in the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Then Jesus sends them across the lake, tells them to get in the boat and head on across the lake, and he hangs out a little bit with his father, and then he starts towards them. Walking on the water. And they see him and Peter says, hey, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter walks on the water. And then he sees the wind and he sees the waves and he's afraid and he starts to sink and he reaches out for Jesus. And Jesus helps him. But his words to Peter, his words, he says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So in that event, stretching Peter's faith directly, stretching the other disciples' faith indirectly, because they all witnessed this, they all heard this, they all understood, we need to keep stepping it up. I mean, if walking on water for a few steps, and Jesus still says, why did you doubt? There's more to come. Turning into chapter 15, you see Jesus explaining another parable to his disciples. And this one, the explanation of this parable talks about getting past the traditions of the Pharisees, that they sought to gain righteousness through following regulations. And this parable is about being clean on the inside and the things that come out from you, out from your heart. Jesus was trying to teach them about a sincere heart, a righteousness that comes from inside, not from the external things you deal with, but the righteousness that comes from inside. Then right after that story, you see a Canaanite woman who is begging Jesus for mercy, asking him to help her daughter who was possessed by a demon. And the disciples urge Jesus to send her away. Send this woman away. She's not one of the people of Israel. And Jesus turns around again and stretches them and challenges them. Was I only sent to the lost sheep of Israel? And so he grants her request. And right there, that moment, without even having to go and see her daughter is healed. Then we get to Matthew 16. And just before this conversation, Jesus is explaining to them that they need to beware of the Pharisees. And another warning in these three chapters. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of their teaching. And then he asks, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? So we see these three chapters just crescendoing up into Jesus molding and shaping his disciples, challenging their faith. You give them something to eat. Why have you had so little faith? Why did you doubt? Watch out for the Pharisees. Watch out for their teaching. Watch out for the traditions that they teach. It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside coming out. All of these things in these three chapters shaping and molding to this crescendo up into Matthew 16 where Jesus says, this is what I came to do. I came to establish my church. And my church is going to be established with solidity and with power. It's going to be solid and powerful. It's going to write that down. Jesus came to establish his church to be solid and powerful. On this rock, solid, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Powerful. That's the church Jesus came to establish. Then as we continue, and it's kind of funny as we continue, because Peter was just praised, you know, that this confession came from God, it came from heaven, it did not come from earth, it did not come from men. We're going to see an immediate flip-flop here. Verse 21, it says, From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So he predicts his death, burial, and resurrection. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, and many of us are very familiar with this. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus' ministry was very intentional. Very intentional. He came to reveal God to his people, to us. To reveal his love and his power and his grace and his mercy. He came to establish his church, working and molding the disciples into this church that's going to be different. It's going to be new. It's based on things that are deeper and a better understanding of what God is and what he wants of his people. It's about the heart. It's about caring. It's about loving. It's about serving. And he intentionally came to die and to raise again. To die and resurrect. That's what that was. Jesus came to die and resurrect. He started talking to them about that. And from this point on, from Matthew 16 on, according to Matthew's gospel, Jesus is reminding them, telling them, this is what I came to do. It was with intention. It wasn't an oops, what happened? Things got out of control and they killed Jesus. This was a drive. This was an intention. This was the job of the Messiah. This was the path laid out. This was the plan that was designed. Jesus came to die and resurrect. To be the sacrifice for life. To be the sacrifice for life. Peter tried to step in and interrupt this plan. Never, I'll never let this happen to you. No, it won't happen. And Jesus says, step aside. You know, a few minutes ago or however long, you know, whatever the distance is between these two passages in Matthew, Matthew sees fit to put them side by side with each other. That here, Peter says the great confession, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, that was revealed to you by God. That was revealed to you by heaven, from a heavenly source, not from men, not from earth. And in this one, Peter says, no, you'll never do this. And Jesus says, Okay, now you're not thinking like this anymore. This came from men. This came from earth. Get your mind off of the things on earth and get them on the things of heaven. And so we see a big contrast there in Peter's responses. And I think we need to take note of that. Jesus came to die and resurrect to be the sacrifice for life. This was God's plan for him. So let's move on to connecting to Jesus' driven, intentional heart. Connecting to Jesus' driven, intentional heart. I want to explain some of the structure of your bulletin real quick so that you can take a little bit of a emotional break from the scripture, the text right now, and just kind of look at the technical aspect of the way your bulletin is arranged. You've got Roman numerals, or actually no, you've got regular numerals. In my notes, I have Roman numerals. So you've got number one, number two, number three. So explaining, so the first part was a studying about his intentional driven heart, and then the second one is connecting to that heart. The third one is living connected to that heart. In those, you see the ABC, ABC, ABC. And every one of those, the A refers to the same A as the first one. So all the A's point back to Matthew chapter 11 in the conversation that Jesus had with John the Baptist's disciples talking about that. So each of those, you can refer back to that. I only included the scripture in the top part in the study, but it is what is reflected on in the other two. And the same thing with B. B reflects to the first part of Matthew 16 that we talked about with the great confession and Jesus establishing his church. So all the B's there, they deal with establishing the church. And all the C's deal with Jesus' example of dying and resurrecting, that he was intentional. Does that make sense? We're all that? Okay. I wanted you guys to have that structure. That way when you went back and looked at the notes, or when we get into this here for a few minutes, that it's not something that's just, you know, section one was from scripture and section two and three are my opinions. No. All of these are straight from scripture. They're all intertwined together. So if you have question or you are, you know, if something in the next couple of sections moves you and or frustrates you or whatever, then you need to seek out God and the Holy Spirit first, and then you can come after me. That's fine. I'm kind of getting used to that. But so, connecting to Jesus' driven, intentional heart. Reflecting on the question that John the Baptist had about Jesus and Jesus' answer to him, we need to ask ourselves, am I connected to Jesus' mission and ministry to reveal God's compassion, power, love, and mercy more than I am my own opinions and agenda? See, even John the Baptist, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from birth. He had his own opinion about what the Messiah was supposed to be. He had his own agenda based on that opinion. Here's what you were supposed to come and do, Jesus. If there's another one to come, let me know so I can be comforted here in jail. But you're not acting the way I thought you would act. You're not doing the things that I thought the Messiah would do. Are you the one, or is there someone else to come? Jesus' ministry and mission were quite different than what John the Baptist expected. So in light of our text this morning, if this could happen to John the Baptist, then none of us are exempt from this happening. He had the Holy Spirit from birth. He was God's chosen voice piece to fulfill what was spoken of in Isaiah, to lay out the path for the Messiah. So if John can get distracted by his own opinions and his own agenda, none of us are righteous enough that we are exempt from that happening from time to time. So we need to ask ourselves, am I connected to Jesus' mission and ministry to reveal God's power, his compassion, his love, his mercy, more than I am my own opinions and agenda? Reflecting on Jesus' conversation about the church being solid and powerful, and that the gates of Hades would not overcome it, then we need to reflect and we need to ask ourselves about connecting with the heart of Christ. Am I connected to the strength and power of Jesus' church to aggressively advance the kingdom more than I am my own efforts to advance my kingdom? So Jesus came to establish his church. It's his church. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's not our church. It's Jesus' church. It's his church. He came to establish that. And it was established with a purpose, and that purpose was to aggressively advance the kingdom. Am I connected to the strength and power of Jesus' church to aggressively advance the kingdom more than I am my own efforts to advance my kingdom? The church is not a vehicle to advance your kingdom. It's not your church to be used that way. It's Jesus' church. There are a lot of people who put an awful lot of effort into advancing their own kingdom from within the church. And that's not right. And that will keep the church from aggressively advancing the kingdom, because it keeps the church internally involved. And it takes a lot of energy and a lot of emotions and a lot of time and a lot of work to deal with internal things. And that takes away from being able to do what the church is supposed to do, and that is to be aggressively advancing the kingdom of God. That's where our energy, that's where our effort should be. So as Matthew 16 continues, and we read how Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection, and Peter says, never, never, never. And Jesus says, get behind me. You got your mind on the things of earth, not the things of heaven. So we need to ask ourselves, am I connected to the sacrifice of the cross for the Father's glory more than my own gain for my glory? Is my mind on things of God or things of men? So we need to connect with the heart of Christ. Some it's a new connection in reflecting on some of these thoughts and looking at these different sections and saying, okay, I'm ready to connect. I'm ready to leave some of these things behind. Some it's a reconnection. Something has gotten in the way. Maybe it's someone, or maybe it's pride. Maybe it's just distance. Maybe it's a frustration. Maybe God disappointed you at one time or another, and you've separated yourself away from that. And maybe today is the day to reconnect. Maybe today is the day to deepen. And for all of us, we can ask these questions, and it's going to do something for us to connect us to the heart of Christ, whether it's to connect for the first time, to reconnect, or to deepen our connection. Because we can always ask ourselves these questions. We always need to be reflecting, looking at ourselves, self-examinations to make sure that we are on the right track, to make sure that we are following Jesus' mission. Because he was driven. He was intentional. So as we reflect on these, we have some action steps to take. Living with Jesus' driven, intentional heart inside of me. And once again, these are connected up with Matthew 11, Matthew 16, kind of the first part we looked at, and Matthew 16, the second part. So Matthew 11, talking about John the Baptist asking Jesus, hey, are you the one to come or is someone else coming? And Jesus says, no, I'm the one to come. Look at what I'm doing. I'm loving on people. I'm showing them compassion. I'm showing them power and mercy. And all this is going to be building up to when God's going to be able to share his grace with all of mankind. And so when we look and we say, yes, I'm connected to that heart, to the ministry and mission of Jesus, then I will let God use me to show his compassion, power, love, and mercy to those around me. I will. And as you write that word, let us commit to that. I will let God use me. That's an exciting life when you do. It's an exciting life. I'll let him show his compassion, his power, his love, his mercy to those around me. Talking about Peter and the great confession and Jesus saying, this is what I want to establish my church on. And my church is going to be strong and it's going to be powerful. And so if we're connected to the heart of Christ and the understanding of the establishing of his church, I will aggressively advance God's kingdom by being a healthy part of his strong and powerful church. I will aggressively advance the kingdom of God. That's what our mind needs to be on. That's what our focus needs to be on. advancing the kingdom, and the gates of Hades won't even overcome it when the church is functioning the way Jesus intended it to function. Strong and powerful, being a healthy part of that. And then finally, talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, his purpose, his drive to that mission, to be the sacrifice for life. When we connect to that part of the heart of Christ, Jesus says, if you want to lose your life, then you can try to get it. That's how you lose it. But if you want to gain life, then you got to lose it for me. You got to lay it down. You got to follow my example. I'm going to go and I'm going to die, and God's going to raise me from the dead. And if you want to follow my example, you got to do the same thing. You got to die and be raised anew. And that's not just something that happens. It happens one time in all of our lives when we're buried into baptism with Jesus Christ. We die to our old self. We're raised anew, a brand new creation. But then from that point on, it's a constant state of dying to ourselves, of giving ourselves up. A living sacrifice, as Romans 12 calls it, to die and lay ourselves down. So that commitment there, as we are connected to the heart of Christ, to that I will lay down my desires. The purpose of that is to give life to others. I will lay down my desires to give life to others. Connecting with Jesus' heart, the heart of Christ. A very driven, a very intentional heart. A heart that was driven and intentional on the ministry and the mission of revealing God to his people. His heart that was intentional and driven towards establishing his church to advance his kingdom. Connecting to his heart that was driven and intentional on dying and resurrecting.